We've been talking about faith for quite some time, off and on. It seems it is thunder. My. Faith and soul winning. That's right, Brother Houseworthy. Faith and soul winning. It is the voice of the Spirit right now to this church. All tied up with the love that God gives to the power of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes the opposite of faith is little faith. I want to talk about faith without hasty answers tonight. I'm going to read from the book of John 6, and I want to read verse 5 and 6. I want to admonish each one of you as you prepare to enjoy some time tomorrow with your families. Please be careful. Be mindful that there's a lot of people that are not responsible. They drink. They do things during the holidays. Let's be cautious. Amen. Careful in your travels and in what you do tomorrow. John chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now here's a note. When God asks a question, he's not seeking information. God asks a question is because he's testing your spirit. And that's how God works. Verse 6, he said, And this he said to prove him, or to test him. For he knew what he would do. God asks you a question, he's not seeking advice. He's not in trouble. Praise God. Amen. Tonight we're going to look at Philip and his response in light of how we should respond to whatever any of us are facing here tonight, whether it be a financial difficulty. And see, I've learned one thing in the spirit realm. When I'm in a battle, I'm in a trial, sometimes the battle gets hot and heavy. The trial gets difficult. But when all of a sudden, inexplicably, out of nowhere, peace just covers you like a big bucket of honey, that's my sign from heaven. No matter what the natural say, no matter what doors are being shut, no matter what difficulties are presenting themselves, get ready. God's fixing to show himself mighty on our behalf. And I can say that these past 3 months have probably been some of the most strenuous months I've experienced in 20 years of ministry. But somewhere around Thursday, just an unexplained peace just flooded over me. And things that normally would cause me great consternation and bother me, because I know God is fixing to do something awesome. As long as my response is proper and I don't get in the way, God's going to perform a miracle. Amen. When Jesus saw the great company, he knew there was a need there. He chose Philip and ask them a question, a faith question. If you were to look through the New Testament, you would find that Philip, the name Philip, appears a number of times. In Matthew and in the book of John, it appears. And these two appearances refer to Philip the apostle. The Philip that the book of Acts refers to was one of the first elders of the church. This message that we see in verse 5 and 6 of John chapter 6 is Philip the apostle, listed with the other apostles in Matthew 10 and verse 3. This is the same Philip that in John 1 and 43 was called to follow the Lord. John 1 and 43 tells us the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. And there are people in the scriptures that God saw some type of quality in. He saw a potential for greatness. And so he would approach these types of people and he would say, follow me. Giving them an opportunity to purchase into being a part of the 12 foundation stones of the very New Jerusalem itself. In John 1 and 45, Philip was portrayed as Brother Houseworth, a soul winner. Philip, the Bible says in John 1 and 45, finds Nathanael and says unto him, we found him of who Moses and the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And just like many of the responses that we receive in this day and hour, it was not a response of return excitement and zeal, but a response of negative doubt and fear. And you can read in verse 46 where the answer back to Philip was, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Let me tell you something, to be a soul winner, you've got to be on fire for Jesus. You've got to be more than just part of a religion. You've got to be more than just involved with church. You got to do more than just sit on a pew and go through the motions. You got to do more than just check off the years you've been on the roll or all the do-nots that you may be involved with. To be a soul winner, you must be consumed with a passion and a fire for Jesus. Be willing to talk about Him everywhere you go. Talk about Him with a passion and a love and desire. Talk about Him like you love Him with all of your heart. I can always tell people that have lost their first love. They've lost the meaning of what it really means to be called out of darkness into light. Because they never talk about Jesus. Oh, they'll talk about church, but more in a griping manner. Oh, they'll talk about preachers and pastors and this and that, but more of just in a mocking or a critical manner. Why? Because they've lost their first love. I challenge you tonight. Find that love that Philip found. Find that desire that Philip found that so filled him with excitement and passion that when he walked around, he had to talk about this man, Jesus. He had to share it with everybody. And even when they were negative to him and say, who is this Jesus? Can anything good come from Nazareth? It didn't shake him. He just said, you got to come and see. You got to come and experience it for yourself. Oh, put your hands together and praise Him. Hallelujah. I want to be a soul winner. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to be a soul winner. I want to be a soul winner. Nathanael began his argument with Philip with the critical words, can there any good thing come out? Then you find in John chapter 12, certain Greeks coming in verse 20. And they came to worship the feasts. And the Bible says, the same came therefore to Philip. And here he is again in the scriptures of Bethsaida of Galilee. And desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip had made such a mark on the people around him. They knew that he knew Jesus. And they knew if they were to find Jesus, they'd try to find Philip and Philip could lead them to Jesus. I wonder on your jobs and in your homes and your neighborhoods if the people around you know truly that you know Jesus. that if they want to find Jesus, are they going to come to you that you might lead them to Him? Or does your neighbor know you and know everything about you and know your kids' names, but know nothing about what you believe and your faith in the Lord and your love for Him? Hallelujah. Sir, He said, we not tell me about your religion. Tell me what you believe. Sir, we would. And that's what I hear this world crying. This world is tired of plastic religion. I thank God for our music, and our chorale works so hard, and our music is wonderful. But you know what? That's not what this world's looking for. This world's not looking for fancy buildings. This world is not looking for a slick religion. This world is thirsty, is crying, is hungry for a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. You see, they came desiring to see Jesus. Verse 22 says, Philip cometh and tells Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. In these two scriptural narratives I've given to you, we see that Philip was very wise in pointing Nathanael to the Lord. And very wise in dealing with the Greeks and in bringing their requests to the Lord. But in John 14 and in verse 8, the same Philip comes and he approaches the Lord with a very strange request. In John 14 and verse 8, he says, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices. And it can be that you can even be consumed with a form or a tradition of what you think is your passion and your walk with God, but really not even know who's standing in front of you. Not even know the power. Know about God. Oh, you can quote Acts 2:38 and John 3:16 and Matthew 28:19 and quote every scripture, but not really, really know Him. Not really, really know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Show us the Father, He said, and it sufficeth. The Lord's answer, Philip, verse 9, have I been so long time with you? And hast thou not known me? He that has seen the Father, me, has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? On that day, a fresh revelation of who Jesus was as being the flesh manifestation of the living God became revealed to Philip. I tell you, there needs to be if you think you've sitting on these pews and you've learned all you can learn and you've been in the church so long, you've got it all under control, then you better find a fresh revelation. You better go back and say, God, reveal yourself to me again. Show yourself to me again in a greater measure and a revelation than ever before. If that's your desire, lift your hands to God and just say that. Hallelujah. Show us the Father. So all these things show that Philip was one who knew who God was. Going back to John 6, verses 1 through 7. The setting is a time where the Lord is ministering to many their disease in verse 2. Performing many miracles. And then He goes up into a mountain and ministers in verse 3 privately to His disciples. You see, there is a danger of following Jesus and not really knowing who He truly is and what He can do. And Jesus was constantly on the check with Philip, James and John and Peter to make sure that they knew who He was. always on the check to make sure they were growing and not just following Him for the sake of following. That's why He would tell them, get into that ship and go to the other side, knowing a storm was coming, because He knew their faith had to be tested. Sometimes God does that. We're just going merrily along, trying to serve God, and for no reason it seems He withdraws from us and lets us go smack dab into a fiery trial. But He knows the trying of our faith works patience. He knows that's where the fire of faith is forged. It's in the midst of that trial where we've got to trust Him and hold on to Him. So when Jesus went up, He asked them the question, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Jesus was not trying to put the weight on Philip to figure out how to feed this impossible multitude. See, Philip totally misunderstood the Lord's request. And instead of looking from spiritual eyes and saying, oh, but You've taught us, Lord. I've seen You do it. I've seen You break the bread. I've seen You walk on the water. I know what You can do. Philip instead looked through natural eyes and responded, thinking that, Lord, You're putting the weight on me. And sometimes your shoulders can droop and you can get heavy laden because you feel like God has just dumped the load and the responsibility on you. And seemingly He's looking at you saying, what are You going to do? My friend, when He asks you that, He's not expecting you to produce and make it happen. He's looking for a response of faith. He's looking for a spark of obedience to say, God, I'll tell You what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust You. I'm going to see Your miracle. I'm going to stand. I'm going to proclaim and profess my faith in Your ability to do it. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to sit here and get negative and just mealy mouth about the pressure God's put on me. Yeah, got to put that pressure on you to produce the fruit of faith. To see something powerful come out of you. It's time to open your mouth and say something besides negative complaints. It's time to open your mouth and start glorifying God. Start professing your faith in Him. Start talking about what you believe God can do. Whether you've seen it or haven't seen it. No matter how much pressure you feel. How far down you feel. God cannot fail. He is mighty. He is holy. He is righteous. And He is able to do exceeding and abundant and above all that we could ask or think. Oh, put your hands together and praise Him. Come on, all of this house, let's praise Him. Come on, church. Somebody needs to rise up. Shut the mouth of the devil. Philip's answer. John 6, verse 7. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone of them may take a little. You see, when I look in the Scriptures, I see the Lord has always been concerned about others. Even though He had ministered, He was not insensitive to the multitude's hunger. But He was moved with compassion. It stirred Him. But at His same time, He knew He could have just spoken the word and met the need. But He saw the opportunity to help one more person. A man named Philip. A man who should have known. A man who had proclaimed, this is the Messiah. Come and see Him. I tell you, your discouragement does not make you weak. Your discouragement does not put you far from God. It simply makes you human. And sometimes we got to strip down these men in the Bible. We put on pedestals and we think they're so immune and they're so powerful and they walk this high off the ground. No, the same Philip that believed and proclaimed the greatness of Jesus was standing there shaken by the need in front of him. So the test came. You see, the Lord's always testing people. I learned this through men of God. It took me a long time working with the coal before I realized There were things he would do that I would understand. It would make sense, but he was testing us. He was testing our spirits. Testing whether we were obedient or not. I remember the first time that Brother Cole asked me to go to Ethiopia. It was shortly after a crusade I administered in Guyana, South America. And then, to that date, the largest crowd I'd ever preached to in a crusade was about 500 people. And I went and preached with Tom Barnes in Minden, Louisiana. Brother Tom Barnes spoke a word of prophecy to me. And he said, Brother Arcovio, God has spoke to me that you're going to preach in Ethiopia. And you're going to preach to millions. I said, oh, really? So I just put it under my hat and went on. I remember the service at General Conference where I was standing. Mr. Arcovio standing next to me. Mrs. Nona Freeman had just got through ministering a message that was so heartrending on where are the young men that will go onto the field. I remember standing there with tears just flowing down my face, and I was just standing there saying, God, I commit my life to you. I commit myself to you. I'll tell you something, young people. You may not know where your life's going right now. And sometimes life may not make sense, but always keep yourself at the place of availability. Where you say, God, here am I. I want to be used by you. I give my life to you. I dedicate myself to you. And standing there saying, God, here am I. All of a sudden, I felt someone standing next to me, and there was Brother Cole. And he put his arms around me, and he began to just wail and travail and sob. And I wasn't sure if that was a good thing or a bad thing. Because Brother Cole, for many years, had been bigger than life to me. In more ways than one, but... And here was this apostle and prophet. The arms around me. Wailing. And he looked at me and he says, Brother Arcovia, I've been watching you. God has spoke to me. I want you to go with me to Ethiopia this year. It's going to cost you about $2,500. Can you handle it? I said, sir, if I got to sell my car and eat red beans and rice, I'll handle it. Okay. Get your money together and I'll call me when you have it. And I'll tell you how to get your ticket. I begged. I stood on the side of the road with signs that said, we'll preach for food. No, I'm just kidding. But I was a poor evangelist at that time. I did my best to scrape together and watched every penny. Everything. Didn't get my money together until about the 1st of February. Finally, I had it all. And I picked the phone up. And I called Brother Cole. And I said, I've got my money. And the crusade was leaving in 1 month. Who do I call for my ticket? He goes, you got your money? I said, yes, sir. He goes, good. Hold on to it because you're not going this year. I said, okay. I said, Brother Cole, if that's what you prayed about and that's what you feel, then fine. And I hung the phone up and I cried like a baby. I was crushed. And I made my mind up. And I took the whole amount, put it in an envelope. And I mailed it to Brother Cole and I said, Brother Cole, I'm not going to hold on to this money. If I can't go, then give this to a pastor over there. Build a church with it. I want to be part in some way of this crusade. And I released it. And I remember about a week later, an envelope arrived in the mail from Brother Billy Cole. And I opened the envelope, and in it was a short letter that said, son, I was testing your spirit. And he says, here's your tickets. Hallelujah. God tests us. Let me tell you something. If you struggle with that, then you won't go very far in God. You'll constantly be a dwarfed, immature Christian. That's right. Your growth will be stunted. But you've got to be able to handle the testing of God. And even when He uses vessels to test your spirit. Yeah. The Lord was testing Philip here. Because understand the phenomena that Philip was facing. He was going to be one of the founding fathers of the New Testament church. His name was going to be inscribed in the foundation of the New Jerusalem. God, just don't let anybody into those areas. And so He began to test him. He tested Philip to help him. God does not test you just to make you angry. God tests you to help you grow and to see what's really in your heart. Because no man even knows his heart. I don't know my heart. So there are things God will do sometimes to show you what's in your heart. He'll say things and do things just to show you what's in your heart. And you'll wonder, why? Why is this going on? It's because He wants you to see so He can help you to grow. You see, Philip needed his faith strengthened. Jesus knew he was prone to look too much upon the temporal and the material. God knows us through and through. We can stand up and we can model and we can act. But God knows us in our dark hours. He knows us through and through. He knows the things we struggle with. And even though we try to hide it and we try to gloss it over, He will send those trials and He will test you so He might help you in those weak areas. And that's the God I serve. He loves me so much. He will not leave me in my weakness. He will not leave me in my frailty. But He will love me enough to chastise and to test and to allow me to face some struggles that I might grow closer to Him. Can you praise Him? Sometimes God tests us by delaying prayers. We pray and we're earnest and He doesn't answer them to test us. We pray earnestly. We pray long. We fast. But still the answer in its full totality is shaded and hid because He wants us to trust Him. And each of us has got to come to the place where we're willing to commit to God's will even before we know what His will is. We want to see it. We want it in paper. We want to examine it. We want to think about it. No, no, no. That's not the way you do it with God. With God, you say, God, Your will. I don't even have to know what it is. I just want to do Your will. I just want to follow You. I just want to please You. Sometimes God tests us with disappointments. Our minds become set on certain things. And then when the matter fails, we become disappointed. And disappointment tests us. Sometimes God tests us by allowing a loved one to leave us one way or another. These are ways that God wants to see if we're going to lean on Him. Yeah. Are you going to lean on Him in the time of trouble? Or are you just going to follow back around that mountain of self-will and flesh again? Well, guess what? You'll come to the same test again. That's right. God doesn't say, well, you know what, my child, I'm sorry. You failed this test 98 times. I feel sorry for you. No, 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 no. You'll keep going on that mountain. You'll keep facing that same test over and over until you finally quit being so stubborn and so self-willed that you'll submit and say, okay, God, I'm tired of seeing this mountain, Lord. Hallelujah. Let me learn what I need to learn, God. I'm ready to go on. Oh, come on. This is good stuff. Put your hands together and praise Him. He tests us so we might know who we really are. So the mirror can be put in front of us. You see, Peter had to be tested before he could be used by God. He had to learn his own weakness because Peter was impetuous. Peter thought he could conquer the world. That's right. Peter thought he could do it all by himself, single-handedly. He was a one-man show. I mean, look at it. Think about it. Standing in the garden as a centurion of soldiers. That's a lot of dudes that are muscular, that are really bad. That's bad, as in cool, you know. Hallelujah. And he jumps out with a sword. Take him on. And God had to let Peter fall flat on his face to show him that he had to trust in God. That without him, he was nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To learn to depend on the power of God. You see, young people, that's why you're tested. Sometimes more often than those that are more mature and older. Because you've got to know who you are. You've got to know your limitations. You've got to know your weaknesses. That's right. God's not going to let you destroy yourself. He's not going to let you ruin yourself. God loves you too much to let you wreck your whole life. So He tests you. That you might know. Because whatever weaknesses you discover, that's what you're going to battle for the rest of your life. That's going to be your battle. But He's here to help you. He's here to walk with you. He's here to strengthen you. Hallelujah. I see young people step up. You know, I want to be used of God. And that's a wonderful thing. I want to be a missionary. I want to go and do the work of God. But then the first trial that comes along, they fall away. You'll probably go through a dozen of those times. Or you'll proclaim, I'm going to be used of God. I'm going to do better. And you find yourself flat on your face over there. Because God's trying to teach you there is a certain area you better not cross. You see, God's angels will keep you. But when you cross a certain line, you're on your own. And until you learn that line, God will let you time and time again fall flat on your face until you realize, I've got to trust God. And I've got to stay behind this covering. I can't go past this. I can't just tempt the Lord and tempt situations and throw myself into anything in life. And I tell you, there is hope for you to be used of God mightily. And one day preach and say and tell others, you can be delivered, but you've got to know your limitations. Hallelujah. God tests us to strengthen us. I can tell the time when I know I'm in a test. I recognize it. And a fear of God rises up in me. And I find myself on my face saying, God, I know I'm in a test. Help me to pass this. Help me. Because I know if I can pass the test, I'm going to be stronger. And I know the feeling of coming through a test. And having passed it. And having responded right. Oh, the strength that fills your soul. The virtue. Oh, put your hands together and praise Him. I know that Philip, even though he failed in that one answer to God, he must have been strengthened. He must have been by this trial. The Lord tests us sometimes to destroy our self-sufficiency. I've said it before. People sometimes are like, of course, my wife always gets on me for saying this, but pigs. They never look up until the acorns stop falling. As long as there's acorns on the ground, they're fine. But they don't pray until God sends them a problem. But God loves you so much that that's what it takes to make you pray. Well then, honey, the storms are lined up. Troubles are going to be lined up as far as your eye can see. Because He wants to talk to you. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I'd rather talk to Him because I love Him. I'd rather spend time with Him because He's my Savior. Because I desire to be with Him. And I know He desires to be with me. You see, we're prone to look at ourselves and our own resources instead of looking to God. Philip answered and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. He was looking at it from the natural means of life. This answer by Philip was given in spite of all the demonstration of God's power that was revealed to him. In spite of the... And he must have heard of the water being turned to wine. He must have heard about the Cana of Galilee miracle. He must have heard of the man with the infirmity for 38 years. But the Lord simply said, "Will thou be made whole?" And he rose up and took his bed and walked. Surely all these miracles must have been made aware to Philip. Yet notice, having the manifestation of God in flesh standing next to him, his answer was, "Even if we had 200 penny worth of bread, we could never feed all these." His answer was quick. And that's what happens when you don't walk in faith. Your answers become hasty. And you answer your situations from your flesh and not from the God that you know is mighty and that loves you. That's why everything must be taken to God in prayer. Don't make decisions without praying about them. Don't make decisions without waiting upon God and seeking His face, because you will answer too hasty and your answer will be wrong. Wait upon Him. His answer was self-sufficient. He was simply looking at his own resources and those around him, that maybe if he pulled together everybody's money, they might be able to get 200 penny worth and maybe put a scratch in the dent of it. But sometimes God wants us to step back and realize the vision and the miracle He's put in front of us is not solely dependent on us alone. We're expected to do our parts, but it's God's vision. And when He speaks it, He will supply it. Oh, come on, somebody. Put your hands together and praise Him. Philip's answer was faithless. He did not express. You see, in the hour of testing, is a habit for most of us to look around for assistance from those around us instead of God. Boy, I'm going through. Hey, man, can you loan me $100? Hello, somebody. Help me out. Ring, ring, ring. Hey, mom, can you part with... I'll pay you back. You get yourself in trouble when in your time of testing, you only look to the natural around you and not to God. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm talking to someone here tonight. It's time for you to put your trust back in God. It's time for you to realize He will supply your every need. Quit trying to work it out in the flesh. Quit trying to work it out on your own measures of understanding. Quit looking around and grasping all the things around you. Trust in God. He will bring it to pass. This message was born out of a rebuke from the Lord to me. In my moment of panic, because of our step of faith we've made in our building project, and feeling the sole weight and responsibility of it, I was willing to make a sacrifice and put that second mortgage on my home. But God has rebuked me. He has said, "Stand still, my son, and watch what I'm fixing to do. Quit scrambling to this part. Just stand still and look to me. Watch my glory." Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I repent before God for doubting His provision. And I'm telling you, He will supply every penny we need. Oh, come on, somebody praise it. What is my answer in my hour of testing? My answer is, "Forgive me, Lord, for trying to work it out in my own flesh. I trust in You. I look to You. You are my source. You are the source of my strength. You are the strength of my life." Hallelujah, Jesus. trust you. Hallelujah. God's sources and resources are not limited. I remind you, Pentecostals of St. Joseph, we serve a God who can do the impossible. We serve a God who can speak the word and the heavens will cease to turn for a day. We serve a God who can stop the coffin and bring a broken mother's heart son back to her. We serve a God who can do awesome things. I'm telling you, church, no matter what we're facing, it's nothing. If we will trust Him. Philip, in his moment of humanness, though he were still a great man, he forgot God. And this, my friend, was the heart of Philip's failure. He forgot God. Who was standing just mere feet away. And he allowed the weight of the situation to become his burden. I'm challenging you, some of you this morning. Take that weight off your shoulders. Cast your cares back on him. He cares for you. He's just a breath of mention away. He's just one prayer meeting away. He's just one act of faith and trust away if you'll choose to lean on Him. Could you stand and lift your hands right now? I cannot blame Philip. I cannot stand here tonight and condemn Philip, who stood mere feet away from the incarnate God revealed in flesh. He simply made the mistake of counting on doing the great work of the Lord.